Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today. Acts chapter 1, I want to look at verse 9. And the title of the subject of our message tonight is, On Your Mark, Get Set, Go. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 9, the Bible says, Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10, And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the sight that they was beholding that night? And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Now, I want you to understand the picture that is here in this scripture tonight. I want you to look, if you will, and imagine with me, this has been quite a ride for the disciples. The last 3 years have been quite an adventure for the disciples. I mean, it has been an exciting time. During those 3 years that they had been with Jesus, they saw multiplied thousands healed. They saw the dead raised. They literally saw thousands fed with one little boy's lunch. They saw people without limbs grow limbs before their very eyes. Amazing what had happened over the last 3 years. They saw Jesus, their teacher. They had been so close to Jesus, you just can't imagine. They were literally at his feet. He was their provider. He would comfort them. He would help them and teach them. They watched him brutally beaten and murdered. This had been quite an adventure, quite a three-year period of time. And now as Jesus had risen from the dead and was literally standing before them, giving them instructions as to what they was to do next. Next thing you know, up into the heavens, he begins to ascend. I mean, wow. I mean, I'm talking, this is the real deal. This is not made up in Hollywood, church. This is the real deal. As they were standing there, that Jesus, the very precious one that they had grown to love and worship, ascended before them, and two men come and was literally all of a sudden was there. Wow. I mean, this is amazing. This is amazing times for them. And I mean, can you literally imagine? I mean, I wasn't there, but and I read it. I just can't imagine. And as they're literally as they're standing there trying to comprehend all these things that I'm sure their mind went back as when he was ascending, their mind began to drift back to when he said, I'm going to go away. They remember seeing him on the cross and his mother crying. They remember his blood dripping. And now what a sight. They're just as they're just literally trying to wrap their head around it. These two men all of a sudden show up and they say, Men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing up into the heavens? Men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring up into the heavens? Don't you know that this same Jesus that has ascended, he's coming back? Don't you understand that he's on his way back just like you saw him go? Now, this is the picture that's happening. This literally happened. I want you to understand this. In other words, they were saying, hey, boys, let's get going. It's time to get moving. It's time to get a move on, people. Now, don't be too hard on the disciples because I don't know about you, but if I was seeing that, I think I might be standing there scratching my head as well. Even though I had seen the dead raised, even though I had seen all these mighty miracles, I still may probably would have been one of them ones. Wow. Wow. Hey, Pete, you see that? Wow. Whew. And then all of a sudden, there's the angels. So they had every right to stand there for a little bit and gaze up into heaven. But in spite of all that, I want you to hear the urgency in the angel's voice. Men of Galilee, why are you standing here? The urgency in their voice. The Bible says that at that point, they didn't know when Jesus was coming back. They only knew that he was. As far as they was concerned, it could have been the very next hour. They didn't know. And so what they did know is that there was much to be accomplished. There was a lot of people who needed to hear the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a lot of people who still needed to be touched with the love of our Father. There was a lot of people who needed to be healed and their lives changed, broken homes mended. There was much work to be done with only a short amount of time to do it in. Hear the urgency in their voice. Men of Galilee, why are you standing here? It's time to go. It's time to go. Are you hearing me, church? It's time to go. Hallelujah. And so I encourage you tonight. I come over here tonight. I come to the big city to challenge you just like the angels did that night. To encourage you. It's time to move. It's time to go. Are you here, church? It's time to get a move on. I don't know what some of you are staring at. I don't know what has caused your focus to be moved from the Father. It may be because you're pursuing after fame or fortune. Maybe for some of you, you have just simply grown tired of doing what God has called you to do. Maybe the cares of this world has just caused you to be worn down, and you say, oh, if I just could just have a little bit of a rest, if I could just find myself an easy chair, I think things would be all right. Maybe you've been battling a sickness or a disease, and it's caused your focus to be turned. Maybe there's financial stress in your life, and it has grown so big, and it has made you feel so small that your focus is at the problem, not at the one who can fix it. I've been there before. I have been in situations where my back has been in a corner, and I said, literally, Lord, I have no way out, and I don't know what's going to happen. Where are you? Don't you see the mess that I'm in? And I look so, I'm so focused on the problem. I have lost focus of my Father. So what are you staring at tonight? I don't claim to be an angel, but I do claim to be one sent on behalf of the Father. What are you staring at tonight? It's time to go. It's time to go, church. It's time to go. Time is of the essence. The Bible says in Matthew 24:27, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. We know the Bible says that he's going to come like a thief in the night. We know the Bible says that he's going to come when we least expect it. And so it's important we keep our focus. It's important that we keep our focus. It's time to stop focusing on the good old days. I'd like to have some good days right now. Some folk are so caught up with how it used to be. We've lost sight of how it could be. I believe it's time to stop seeking after fame and fortune. We know the Bible says seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that we pursue will overtake us. If we redirect our focus, I want you to understand that Jesus is coming back, and it's sooner than we think. We may not have another 5 years. We may not have another 5 minutes. Everything is to the point to where the Lord could descend, just like the Bible says, and with a shout and with a voice of the archangel, and all of a sudden, baby, we're on our way up in the twinkling of an eye. That's how fast it can happen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so we need to refocus. So Jesus is coming back to you. And so because of that, I want to talk for just the next few moments. On your mark, get set, go. You say, what's that mean? Well, for the disciples, the mark was the upper room. The get set was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the go was go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so, number one, the mark. Now, when you think of a race, you think of the mark being the starting line. If I was going to have a good chance, I would not start at the starting line to win a race. How many of you watch the Olympics? Some of them boys were fast. I mean, you look at them girls, they come up there and they had thighs like this. I'm thinking, my word, look at that. Oh, and they would take off like a bolt of lightning. And I'm thinking, if it was a 100-yard dash, if I had about a 95-yard head start, I might could win. I wouldn't start back at the mark where I was supposed to be if I was planning on winning that race. But when you think of the mark, you think of the starting place where the runner of the race, they get up to that mark and they get ready to go, the mark. For the disciples, that mark was the upper room. We see proof of this in the Bible. Luke chapter 24 and 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 12, in part of our text, the Bible tells us that that place was an upper room in the city of Jerusalem. Now, what you need to understand is by the time that they had got to the mark, they'd already had been in training. They had already been taught. They had already sat at the feet of Jesus. They already understood the race that they was in. And they had already been given instruction on how to win that race, how to run that race. That was before, you see, they got to the mark, before the upper room. They had already been in training for 3 years up to this point, maybe just a little over. And so by the time they had reached the upper room, they had already been taught what was before them. And I believe that there are those here tonight who you have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You believe that He is the Messiah. And you have been being taught the Word of God. By this time, you understand the race that you're in, the seriousness of the race that you're in, the seriousness of the prize. You understand this race that you're in, and now you're at your mark, or the beginning of the next part of this race that you're in, the next phase of your race. And now we know what happens before the mark, but what happens at the mark? There's a couple of things that happen while you're at the mark. Like me, if I was standing there at the Olympics and I look to my left and I see these fine young men who have been training for years, that would be a little bit intimidating. I look to my right and it could be all them fine young women who had been training many years. All of a sudden, I begin to see what I'm up against. Now I have a decision to make. Am I going to go ahead and race? When we compare ourselves to people, all of a sudden it begins to intimidate us as to whether we're going to stay in the race. We have a decision to make. Am I going to go ahead and fulfill the call that's on my life? Or am I going to stay at my mark for a while? Am I going to go ahead and jump in? Now that's a step of faith. When you see some of the jobs, there's times when I'm in a service, I've been in places where I would consider people literally to be giants in the Lord, generals, if you will, in the Lord. And I feel so small and so humbled when I'm in what I would consider the company of great men and women of God, faithful for years. Man, I don't know if I want to get involved in this or not. I'm scared, Lord. I don't know. But that's the decision that we have to make. Are we going to go forward in our race? Am I going to pursue the course that's been laid out for me literally before time even began? I had my race laid out before me. Think about it, church. This is the real deal. Am I going to jump in or am I going to stay where it's comfortable? The next thing you have to decide is this. You have to decide, am I going to run my race with or without my helper? Am I going to take advantage of every tool that God has provided for me? And am I going to take that and use it to my advantage, or am I just going to stay at my mark? How many of you would like a helper? I don't know about you, but I wake up every morning asking for help in my race. I wake up every morning and I say, Lord, I ask you to help me and to lead me and to guide me and to direct me so that I can be effective in what you've called me to do. I need help. You must realize that the reason that Jesus sent them to the upper room was to get set. They'd already been preparing for the race. They had already understood how the race was going to happen and how important it was. But now they needed a helper in order for them to be successful in their race. And that power that Jesus sent them to get was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus told them, I'm going to send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, because there's one more thing that you need, and that is power. This was the next step in their adventure following after Jesus Christ, was the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was for them to take full advantage of the provision that Jesus had laid out for them. And this is our next step as well. Some of us are not there yet. And I'm not saying this, I'm not putting you down in any way. I'm here to encourage you. Some of you maybe in this house have never had the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I believe before this night is over, it can be yours. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's our next step, church. It's the plan that Jesus had for us to take the world. And so I'm not going to take a lot of time, because I know that you have been taught the Word of God concerning the Holy Spirit and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So I just want to encourage you with just a few scriptures tonight. Peter, standing up on the day of Pentecost, declared this, "But this, it was spoken by the prophet Joel, that it shall come to pass in the last days, says God." Now, what I want you to understand here is that the clock has not been reset since Peter spoke those words. Some folk will tell you that it is not for today. But listen to this country preacher, that the Holy Ghost, the baptism in the Holy Ghost, is just as much for today as it was back then. It is just as much the plan of God for our lives as it was for theirs. The clock has not been reset. We're still in that same time period, if you will, in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Verse 17 of Acts chapter 2, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." Now, what is the evidence of this outpouring? Here it is. "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Bless the name of the Lord. Jesus himself said in Mark 16 and verse 17, "These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues." So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for you. Did you hear me? It is for you and it is for me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's also an essential key for our success as a Christian. And here is why. One of the reasons, Acts 1 and 5. "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And you shall receive" what? "Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you." What is that power for? It is to be a witness. So the Holy Spirit gives us power to be a witness. There's people God has placed in your life. He has placed them in your path. And it is your God-given privilege to give them the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to be effective doing that, then we're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Are you with me, church? Another thing that the Holy Spirit also gives is power to intercede. Romans 8 and 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses." How many of you have ever been in a weak place? not knowing what to pray, not even knowing how what to open up. You opened up your Bible and it just all looks like French. Can I get honest with you tonight? Not sure how to pray, not sure what to do. You've done all that you know to do. All of a sudden, something begins to rise up inside of you as you just peel away yourself and submit yourself to God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God will make intercession on our behalf and will pray for us, will intercede for us, and will give us direction on which way we should go. That's power, baby. When you've been confused, when you're not sure which way to go, and all of a sudden you get direction. Oh, I'm telling you something, it's worth it, church. Holy Spirit also will give us power to do the miraculous. Acts 10 and 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Have you ever been oppressed? Someone come along, stand beside you and take your arm and say, let's pray. All of a sudden that just lifts off of you. Let me tell you something. This is an amazing gift that we have been given. I don't know how many times that the Holy Spirit on my behalf has caused me to win, has lifted me up and encouraged me. What a gift. What a gift. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the key to our success as Christians. And so before they went into the next phase of their race, Jesus told them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we've got on your mark, we've got get set, what's left. Mark 16 and 15, you knew I was going there, didn't you? He said, go. We could just stop there. Some folk think they have a pass that excludes them from the go part. I'm too old. Ain't nobody over here too old? I'm too young. I'm just a girl. I don't think I'm quite smart enough. I don't have a degree. I don't have any talents. I don't sing. Lord knows I can't play the piano. I guess I can be excused. I guess he's talking to someone else because I don't have any of these things that I see some of these people. What I say, we're looking around and we're comparing ourselves to the people that are in the race beside us. You got a decision to make, and that decision is, am I going to go preach the gospel to every creature? I don't know if I can do that. Do you remember what did Moses say? My tongue gets all tied up. Well, here's Aaron. Fix that one. I don't know what I'm going to say. I'll fill your mouth. Now, don't get hard on Moses, because you ever done that before? Oh, I don't have enough money in my checkbook to do that, Lord. $100 in the offering plate. Are you kidding? That's for that rich guy sitting over there with the fancy tie. Oh, that's for him. Well, why did Jesus tell you? Isn't it easy to tell everyone else what God's will is for them? If we would just take that same energy that we are wasting on fixing everybody else and concentrate on what God has called you to do, think of how far we'd be up the road in our race. I'm starting to meddle, so I'm just going to preach on here. You may feel that you're not quite all there, but I want you to hear what the Bible says. Psalm 139, 14, I love this verse. It says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at your neighbor and say, ain't I pretty? Oh, come on, ain't I pretty? Look at me. I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Didn't the Lord do a good job on me? Come on, somebody need to tell your next door neighbor, didn't the Lord do a good job on me? Yes, he did. You better tell your wife that, fellas. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Notice this. And your eyes saw my substance. Being yet unformed, the Lord saw. He saw me preaching tonight. Before I was even made, he saw that I would be here tonight. And he knew that you was going to be here tonight. And he divinely orchestrated our lives so that we could come together encouraging one another. This is no mistake, church. And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, and how great is the sum of them. What I want to say to you tonight is that God does not make mistakes. I know you have heard it before, but sometimes we need to hear it just one more time, that God does not make mistakes. Your life is not a haphazard event, but you, before the foundations of the world, have a race set before you. And it's time to go. It's time to go. Come on, church. It's time to go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What I'd like for you to do is understand that God thinks good things towards you. And he not only has good thoughts towards you, but he speaks life over you. You need to chew on that for a couple days. That God speaks life over you and over me. The Bible says that Jesus, even right now, is at the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf. Think about it. Where would we be without that? So I'd like for you to stop focusing on the things, on the talents, on the abilities that you think you don't have, and use the things, the talents, the gifts that God has given you. And you will literally see your life blossom and multiply if you will just be faithful to go. Just be faithful to go. Well, where do I go? Well, ask the Lord. It really ain't difficult. He says, if you need wisdom, ask me, and I'll give it to you liberally. And I won't smack you around just because you ask me. And that's my paraphrase. James said it better than me, but I say it the way I can understand it. Ask me. Take a step forward. Okay. Now what? Go left. Okay. Now what? Is that difficult? Come on, church. We get so caught up with life, with jobs, with work. And I understand that we have to make a living, because if you don't, they'll shut your power off. I understand those things. But let's refocus, because Jesus is soon to come. He's soon to come. I don't know about you, but I know in our church we've got seats that go empty every Sunday. What does that tell me? That there's still people that need to hear the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how are they going to hear if there's no one willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me. Send him. Look at the shape that he's in. He can do so much. I heard him singing, and you just let him go, Lord. No, but he's got a place for you. He's got a place for you. Can you say amen?
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info, and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace.